The Bookhouse is an independent bookstore with two locations in New Jersey, Millburn and Long Branch. Are you the guy who says they like to support indie bookstores? Good. Then be that guy. Come shop at The Bookhouse. Books, puzzles, games, coffee, cards, live author events, comedy nights, and most important, a real sense of community where actual human beings engage with one another. The Bookhouse in downtown Millburn and at Pier Village in Long Branch. That's The Bookhouse. Independent, local, quaint as fuck. Follow us on Instagram and come visit our stores.
Today's guest is Jennifer Shirk, the USA Today bestselling and award-winning author of sweet and funny romance novels. Jennifer's latest, Resorting to Romance, was released on July 2nd. Jennifer, welcome. I'm so excited to talk with you today about your new novel and everything else going on in your writing life.
I'm very, very happy to be here. I'm so excited that you invited me on my first podcast. So this is like going to go in the books.
I'm thrilled to be the first one. Thank you. So one thing I'd love to ask you about is I know you are a prolific writer, but I saw that you actually have a degree in pharmacy. And I know so many authors come to writing novels through journalism or PR, or they've left behind a career in law, but pharmacy is a rare one. So can you share a bit about how you pivoted from one to the other?
Sure. I agree. Like I do see, cause a lot of people ask me, they're like, oh, you obviously must have a degree in writing or creative writing. And I'm like, no. And they're surprised. And I'm like, oh, well, and I always point out all these like people that came back from, you know, they're investigative crime reporters or doctors or lawyers, like you said, but not too many pharmacists. In high school, I always had like a really strong science background. Although I was, my mom, if you ask my mom, she would say I was always very creative, but not in the writing. I never really was a writer. So I got my degree, I was working, and eventually when I became pregnant with my daughter, I decided to take a little break and stay home and raise her for a few years, which actually turned out to be a lot more than a few years, but that was the goal anyway, was I would just stay home for a little bit. And, when I stayed home, I kind of look for other outlets. You know, like I wouldn't say I was bored, but like she would go down for a nap and then, you know, I'd be like, okay, like what now? You know, the house was, you know, relatively clean and, you know, it's like, you know, so
I was then.
Yeah. So I was kind of like, okay, you know, what do I do? And, so I started reading a lot. I was always a reader, but then I kind of fell out of reading like when I was in college, you know, cause you're reading textbooks all the time. Sure. And so I started reading and eventually kind of got the notion of, maybe I should like try writing my own because I wasn't quite seeing what I wanted to see. I would read like a romance and, I would think to myself, oh, I would have said this the ending was good, but I probably would have made this happen, you know? And then, you know, when you start thinking and you start thinking, well, maybe I should just write my own.
Absolutely. Right. Like that Maya Angelou quote, I always am paraphrasing it. I never get it right. Like if there's a book out there you want to read and it hasn't been written, you have to write it. So it sounds like.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, that's great. And so I know your latest just came out July 2nd. And so speaking of the law, that novel follows Lonnie, who, when we first meet her, is on this awesome trajectory. She's engaged to this handsome man, up for partner. And then, you know, I don't think I'm spoiling anything since it's no. early on, but the world sort of drops out on her and she's forced to kind of reinvent herself. So how much fun was that for you to write and to just kind of get inside that sort of messy world for her?
It was really fun because I love writing about messy families. Probably because, you know, like I have one of my own, like I love them dearly, but we are like, it's crazy. And so it's fun to actually make it like fictional. Like I take it maybe a little over the top, but that's part of the fun. But yeah, it is kind of like, I think everybody, especially I, you know, can relate to, you know, thinking that you have everything going for you. And then all of a sudden, like everything starts dropping out and, you know, you kind of have to like realign what you really want and what you believe in and, you know, things like that. And then, you know, the story, you know, you kind of like almost, you know, you reinvent yourself. And I feel like I've reinvented myself kind of with the, you know, I really thought that I was going to go, I was actually thinking about going to med school.
Oh, wow.
And thinking about, yes. And then I met my husband and then I was like, oh, I can put it off for a little bit. And then I actually thought, and then I tried to go back for my PharmD, my doctorate of pharmacy. And that didn't work out because we ended up moving. And then I ended up getting pregnant. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll put it off. You know, I just was like, I am not meant for this.
Yes, there were other things in store.
Right.
That's wonderful. And so sort of like Lonnie, your main character. And I guess if you wouldn't mind, in your own words, sharing with listeners a bit about resorting to romance and sort of, you know, outlining the plot and maybe some of the characters that we meet along the way.
Oh, sure. So, let me like take it way back. So my, you know, my editor wanted to rectify the, you know, we didn't have any contracts together anymore. And I said, oh, I would love to write another book or series. I said, but I really would like, you know, to have more like mass market appeal, like to kind of like go out there and not just be on ebook or, you know. Sure. And they said, that's great. They said, but, you know, if that's the case, then we want you to write like what we think will be appealing to readers. And so I said, oh, okay. Yeah, just tell me what to write. So they wanted me to write a book about sisters.
That's great.
And they wanted me to set it in the South, but not too far South. So I chose North Carolina.
Right. I love the setting.
And, you know, I'm very familiar with beach settings in general, just because I live at the beach in New Jersey. But so most of my books usually are in some sort of beach setting. So that was not a stretch for me. Although I did have to do a little research on North Carolina.
And expense it, right?
Right.
Research.
It's like not bad research.
Exactly.
So we have Lonnie, and you know, each sister is like named. The mother really loved this town in North Carolina, which is called Sunny Banks, and she loved the sunshine, and so she named all three daughters like of some sort of derivative of sun, or you know, like a meaning of sunshine or of sun or something like that. So, you know, we have Apollonia. And we have Maris, which is, and then Kalinda, which is also like a kind of like a, has like a meaning towards sunshine as well. And so they're all very different. Lonnie is kind of, she's the middle child, but she's kind of like, I think she became more of like driven to be a quote unquote success, you know, success in her mind or what she thinks is successful, you know, career wise and things like that. Because as the middle child, I think she kind of got lost in the shuffle, and that was her way to get attention, you know. Sure. Like if she did the best in school and she did, you know, this would get her attention to, you know, her mother and her father. And the Kalinda is, she's the oldest, and she's kind of, she's the cook, but she's also, she's kind of like, she's kind of driven as well, but in a little bit of a different way. And then we have Maris, who's like the baby, who, is kind of like, she's a true third child. You know, she's much more creative, much more, but they're all intelligent in their own way, but they're just like, but they all just have their own personalities. And then, you know, we have some of the people, so they have this family hotel, which is kind of going underwater,
right?
You know, and the father wants to sell, and the sisters want to hold on to it. So it's kind of like the story is them trying to convince their father to not sell the hotel and try to do all these things. And they have these characters that work at the hotel that are They were fun. They're like, they're kind of quirky. They're kind of fun, but they love the sisters and they love the hotel, and the characters in the town were, you know, typical small town. I live in a small town, not that small town, but it's like, it's 11,000 people. And, it's everybody, and there are a lot of cast of characters. So, it's not that hard to pick and choose like different types of personality traits, because they're just there. It's so easy
to picking. Yes.
Yes.
That's fun. I know a lot of times I wrote a novel and I had lunch with a friend and he was saying, no, you didn't make up all these characters, right? These are real people. And I said, well, you know, you kind of have to pick and choose, and you don't want anyone to ever say, okay, you ripped off my entire life. So do you ever run into people who think you have, you know, based something on them or someone they know, or especially in a small town, has that ever happened to you?
No, thank goodness. But I think I do a pretty good job of like, I take a little bit of, it's like you do pick and choose. You pick like certain traits and certain different things. And then, but there are times where I have to go back and go, you know what? This person is totally going to know that I base this character off them. I have to like change like their hair coloring or whatever, little things. But, I think I'm okay right now. Although there's a lot of, it's funny. I take it as a compliment, but there are a lot of like my male friends that are always like kind of joking. They're like, oh, that's based off of me, like the hero, right? That's based off of me. I go, no. I said next book. I promise. Yeah.
That is really funny. And I know I want to talk about your next book and what comes up next. But one thing I'd love to touch on when you mentioned cooking is on Jennifer's website, she has a tab where she includes these wonderful looking recipes. There's a blueberry crumb cobbler I'd love to make, German chocolate bars. So are you a big baker in your life, Jennifer? And these come from your novels, right? I mean, you're sharing with readers things that that are included in there.
Well, there's one for sure. There's these muffins that
amazing.
They are really good, and I taste tested them because I was like, I kind of took a couple of recipes and then kind of like incorporated my own to kind of make it kind of like my own recipe, but like I incorporated a bunch of recipes and I taste tested it, and I was making it the whole time like I was writing the book. Making these muffins, and my daughter was thrilled because she was like, she was littler at the time, and she was like, oh, yay,
I'm sure your house must have smelled amazing during that, right?
Totally. Oh my gosh. And they are like, when you dip them in the powdered like cinnamon sugar, like it's almost like a donut muffin. They're delicious. I actually am. I was always like kind of like a cook, a baker, and I do enjoy that. I think that's part like a little other creativity thing. And maybe I think my mom always laughs. She's like, it's because you were a pharmacist. It's like the whole chemistry thing. It's like cooking, chemistry. It's like the same thing.
Yes, a little bit. I don't know if you read Lessons in Chemistry where she ends
I
up.
I did. Yes. Exactly. So yes. I was like totally related to that. I go, yes, it is not a far stretch, you know.
Exactly. And I don't know about you, but I'm a big baker as well. And the thing I love about it is while you're sort of mixing and stirring and, you know, making, let's say you're rounding your cookie balls or whatever, your mind can wander and you can kind of let your characters speak to you, or you can kind of iron out some dialogue that's maybe tripping you up. And I feel like when I get back to my laptop after baking, I have a bit of a clearer head, you know, for however long it lasts. But I don't
Absolutely.
Know if you have that.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. It is kind of like you're still kind of creative, but your mind is in a different, it's always the way when you overthink your book, it's just, that's when you run into a wall. But when you kind of let your mind go elsewhere, then it becomes easy almost, like, you know, then you can go back and be like, oh yes, this is why this is wrong. Or this is such a better choice of dialogue, or, you know, oh, this should happen. Or, you know, it is kind of like, you know, you do have to kind of let go a little bit, but, and cooking is a great way to do that. Plus, you know, I like to eat.
So do I. So do I. And then I know that in the past you have written a series. And so I was wondering if you, you know, what's next for you? And have you thought about taking these characters from resorting to romance forward in any way?
Yes. So so my editor has book two already.
Oh, so congratulations. It's exciting.
It is exciting. So the second book will be Kalinda's book, which is she's the first child. You know, but I kind of went out of order there. I should have probably went in order with the sisters, but I did the middle sister first.
I think that's fun. I always think of Mary and Keys also, you know, kind of we get to meet the sisters from, you know, Rachel's Holiday. And
yes.
So, and wherever you come to them, I think readers are, you know, if you're hooked on those characters, you're just thrilled there's another one. You don't mind which order they come in, right?
Right. And it's actually been very, partly relieving and partly exciting for me when I see people in reviews going, I think she's hinting that there's going to be another book, you know, and if there's another book on one of the other sisters, I'm in, you know, and I was like, oh my goodness.
Right. I know. What a compliment. Yes. To hear people want to continue like, on. With
yes. So it's with my editor now, and I can't start the third book because I kind of want to wait until the edits come in on the second book just in case there's, you know, changes and right. I want everything to kind of correlate. And so I'm waiting on that. And then in the meantime, so my agent is, she just had a baby, so she's on maternity leave. So she said, all right, when I get back, you know, let me have something that I can kind of submit. So so I'm working on a proposal. That hopefully, you know, she'll send out in October too. So in the meantime, I'm kind of waiting on edits and then I'm working on a proposal. And then once I get the edits for the second one, then I'll work on book three of the sister's book, The Resorting to Romance. So, busy. Awesome. It's nice to be busy.
Hey, that's when you said you handed in your edits, I was going to say, oh, wow, you might be having a true summer vacation, you know, which is so rare when you're an adult I find myself so envious of kids with those long free summer days. But,
I do feel a little like that. I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, I'm just kind of, yeah. I'm like, and it's a perfect time to be kind of like, chilling. It's like summer, you know?
Exactly. Yes. When I don't have a project in the winter, I start to get a little, you know, stir crazy, but summer's a good time. And I think that's so good for anyone listening who is a writer. I think while your editor or your agent has your novel, if to sort of take the pressure off yourself, I don't know if you feel this way, but I think to start on your next project is a wonderful distraction so that you're not kind of refreshing your inbox every 5 minutes, or I don't know if you have more willpower than I do, but
no, I don't, but it's true. You have to just keep, you know, keep busy. Yeah. Because yeah, otherwise you do kind of, you know, it, like right now, like I'm not checking the inbox. I'm not worrying about it because I feel like I've been so, busy with, you know, resorting to romance promotion and things like that. Thank goodness that I'm not. It is nice to have this little break to just concentrate on that. And then, you know, hopefully I'll have the edits by the time I'm ready for edits, I'll have the edits.
That's wonderful. And that's what I was going to ask too. I don't know if you find this challenging. I know I do. Sort of wearing both hats, kind of writing the novel, you're the author, but then in the lead up to its release, you almost become your own PR machine, which I think is hard because a lot of writers, you know, we're used to kind of working in isolation, just us and the words. And then it's almost like you have to step out of that shell and become your own cheerleader. And I guess, how has it been going for you? And if you have any tips, I know I would love to hear them. And I have a book coming out August 6th. And so I feel like...
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. There's so much to do that I almost get like paralyzed, where then I just make to-do lists rather than actually doing the things on the to-do list.
I have a lot of to-do lists. Yes.
For me or for listeners, how do you sort of switch gears? I'd love to know.
Well, because I knew the book was coming out, so I always tried to keep my social media going, either just, you know, with you know, things that like, you know, like quotes or, you know, uplifting things or funny things or, you know, easy fodder is like always like my dog or my writing world, you know, like they're here, they're listening here. It's funny. They're listening to me and they're like lying, like in like a coma state. but that, you know, it's, you know, in between books, you don't want readers to kind of forget about you and, right. and, you know, and you do kind of want to, I feel like it's such a small writing community. It's nice to like in the downtime, what I was doing was I was reading a lot and I was just posting about what I was reading and promoting other authors and just thinking, well, you know, it's, you know, let's all share the wealth. So like, you know, while you're waiting for my book, here's another book that you might enjoy. Like, you know, like I always feel like that's always like a positive, something positive to do and to keep your, you know, and I feel like you kind of gain trust with, you know, with your community because they're like, oh, well, you know, I like her books and she likes these books. I'm like, maybe I'll like these books too. And, or, you know, if I recommend a book and they haven't read me and I'm saying, oh, I really enjoyed this. I think it was really funny. Then they might, and they read it and they agree. Then they might think, hey, you know, we have similar book tastes. You know, maybe I would like reading your book, you know? So it's, I feel it's always like a, you know, it's always like a positive thing to kind of, and that's just like, I feel like another easy way to kind of keep in front of readers when, and it's not always about me and buy my book. It's kind of like, it's a whole relationship thing. I think that, you know, you have to, and I'm still kind of learning that. Like I actually just took a, I didn't take it, but I subscribed to a, social media, course, and it was just, talking about these points and I thought, oh, this is so true. It's really excellent because I do follow a lot of authors and it is nice when it's not always about them, you know, I mean, you want it to be about them, you know, but it's not 24/7 always about them or their book or, you know, whatever. They're sharing funny things or sharing recipes or, you know, or other, or what they're reading. I always find it interesting. I always like to see what other authors are reading, you know?
I'm the same. I love that too. And I think you're right. I think it builds up kind of good karma. You're a good literary citizen. And I too, I'm always looking for a good recommendation. And I actually, you know, I write in the thriller space. And then, so I see, of course, there are a lot of thrillers out there, but I also love music. And last year I was following singer-songwriter Amy Mann, and she recommended this book, My Murder. And I picked it up. I guess I got the audiobook, and it ended up being one of my favorites of the year. And I thought, wow. I hadn't seen that anywhere else. And it was so different. And so I think you're right. Like I appreciate whenever anyone has a recommendation. And I feel like this is just a nice organic segue into my next question, which was going to be, who are some of your favorite influences or authors that you turn to, whether you're seeking inspiration or just a light, fun, you know, summer read? Do you have any authors in mind that you could share?
Yeah. My goodness. So like when I first, you know, I actually, when I first thought I was going to write a book, I actually wanted to write a mystery book. Cause I was reading, when I first started reading, I was reading a lot of, Mary Higgins Clark.
Oh,
like,
yes,
I think I read everything of Mary Higgins Clark. This is like 20 years ago, but, but everything from her. And, I really thought, oh, I'm going to write that. And then I was just walking the library and I remember looking at the shelf space and thinking this one author had like, oh, like she must have had like four or five shelves.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, wow, she must be good. Right. Maybe I'll pick one of her books. So I did pick up one. It was Nora Roberts, right?
Oh, right. Wow. Yes. She's very prolific. Wow.
Yes. But I just remember thinking, well, she must be good. Yeah. And she was excellent. So it was because of her that I actually decided, because I saw her story, and her story was, you know, she was a stay-at-home mom, mm-hmm. just started penning stories by hand back in the day, and then, you know, started, she got started with Harlequin, because Harlequin, you could do short stories, you didn't need an agent. Wow. And she kind of like built her readership and, you know, kind of like built it from there. And I thought, well, if she can do it, I can do it. And that's why I started writing shorter stories and started trying to submit to Harlequin. And then of course, like the line that I was submitting to Harlequin ended up closing. And oh. I was just like, oh. All right, what do I do with all these short stories now? But she was kind of like my inspiration. And then, the library was had an author who was giving a talk on how to get published and all. And one of the last day, she said, everybody bring in some of your, work and we'll all critique it. And I did not have a critique group. I didn't have anything. And I was first. And
oh, that's daunting, right?
I know. I was like, oh my goodness. And nobody had ever read, not even my husband, nobody had read anything that I had written.
Wow.
And I was nervous wreck. And sure. They're reading it and people are like kind of like giggling. Right. Okay. And I'm thinking, I'm thinking this is my Nora Roberts romance and they're giggling at this, right?
Oh no.
Well, so the woman goes, she goes, you got the chick lit voice down pat, but you know, and then she just went on and on. And I remember I had to go home and Google what chick lit was.
Oh, yes. I remember back in the day. Yes. I think now people, I mean, I love it. Like all Bridget Jones and those types of stories,
then it became kind of like not good, like kind of like, you know, taboo after a while. And then it kind of came back, but yes. And I was like, I didn't know what that was. And I was like, oh, I guess I should probably go more toward funny since that's, I guess I'm not going to be Nora Roberts, you know? So started developing my own voice. And then, you know, I found Susan Elizabeth Phillips, who is, in my opinion, just the queen of romantic comedy. I love Sophie Kinsella. I think she's great. Jill Mansell, I think, is awesome too. I'm trying to think, there's some other newer authors that, I really, I love Courtney Walsh is really good. She writes kind of sweet, inspirational books. She's really great. She has like, she writes sweet books, but they have a lot of meat and heart to them and they're funny too, but really sweet.
I love that when you get that nice combination of something that really makes you feel something, but makes you laugh out loud at the same time. I think
that's exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
thank you for sharing this, because I feel like sometimes when I'm asked that question or I ask it, it's almost like asking someone to pick a favorite child, you know, and
it's so true. Yes. It's like, good. And there are a lot of newer authors that are up and coming that I'm like, they only have maybe one or two books out that I've really enjoyed. So one of them is Devin Daniels. I think it's Devin Daniels. She wrote a really funny, funny book called Meet Me in the Middle that was like about a conservative hero and a liberal heroine getting together in Washington. I mean, it was so cute. It was adorable. And it really was like, it was like the perfect kind of, you know, with all the political hostility kind of going on, it was such a sweet meeting of the middle. Like, you know, it was really a wonderful book. And it was funny too. Really, really funny.
Yes, we could certainly use something like that today, right?
Exactly.
Find a little middle ground out there. And then just getting back to sort of promoting your book, where can readers find you, Jennifer? Do you have more events coming up this summer in New Jersey? We have stores in Millburn and Long Branch. I don't know if you'll be near either of those this summer.
I don't know. Right now I'm hoping I'm waiting to hear back from a bookstore in Cape May. So I'm hoping to be in Cape May this summer. I just yesterday was in my hometown, Ocean City. And my library in Ocean City is trying to get me to do a talk too. So I'm hoping that next month, sometime in August, I will be at the Ocean City Free Public Library doing a little talk on my books. So that's what I have right now. And there is actually, I might even end up being in Iowa.
How exciting. What will you be doing there? Wow.
Well, there's so a friend of mine who lives out there, she said, oh, I'd love you to come out and speak at this bookstore. It's a really, great place. And they actually, I was checking it out. They have they actually sell, I guess they sell tickets to the event to make sure that people, it's not like, I don't know if you have to buy the tickets or, I'm not sure. But they say, well, if we don't sell 20 tickets, at least 20 tickets, then, we'll cancel the event. But I think that's like a pretty smart way of making sure that, because a lot of times the authors do these events at Barnes & Noble or, whatever, and you hear kind of like these stories of like, oh, nobody showed or, one person showed or what, So I think that's a pretty smart way of making sure that, but I think it's called Sidekick Coffee and Books.
Oh, how fun. Oh, I hope you get out there. And I follow Jennifer on Instagram. And I loved your recent post where your nails, your manicure matched your book cover. And Jennifer has one of the prettiest book covers I have seen all summer. It is so stunning. I hope we'll add a photo to the podcast page so our listeners can check that out. But I'd love to see your photos from Iowa when you're out there. But I agree. I think selling those tickets is really nice because at least the author sort of knows what they're walking into. Because a lot of times you go and you can hope for the best and you just don't know if people will show up. And I spent an afternoon at Barnes & Noble on, I think, a rainy Saturday. And it was funny where my table was stationed. I was facing an end cap filled with the newest Emily Henry. So while I sat there sort of alone, I watched that sort of kiosk get emptied and restocked, emptied.
Oh
and
my gosh.
Like one book, I'd sign a book an hour. And meanwhile, Emily Henry was like lapping me, by 10. It would have been nice if, I'm not saying that somebody needed to sell tickets to mine, but it certainly would be nice to know, okay, I'm not going to be looking at an empty room.
Exactly. And I think because there are so many people that say, oh yeah, I'm going to come. But if they buy a ticket, they're definitely going to come because they bought the ticket. You know what I mean? It's like they feel more obligated. So it is kind of, it's not that people don't want to show up, but sometimes they people get sidetracked and they think it's, I could always get it and, it's whatever. But right. It takes another author to really kind of, to kind of know that feeling, be like, all right, but it would be so much nicer. And especially when you fly out there, it's like, oh, you really want it, you really want Absolutely. Someone to show up,
Yes, that's so true. Yes. And another thing that I love is that you are available to speak with book clubs if they're local or via video. So I just want our listeners to keep that in mind because
Absolutely.
I think
Absolutely. Yep. I love that.
A fun read, especially for this time of year, kind of continue that vacation vibe.
Yeah, that's what I feel like this is like. So my book is it's funny. It's got a little family drama, it's heartwarming. It's very kind of Hallmarky.
Yes, and, that's what I was gonna say. I love that.
Just a typical, mindless beach read. You don't have to think too hard. You can kind of you don't have to concentrate and kind of relax, chill. It's definitely a vacation mode type of book.
Yes, definitely. I think our listeners would love it, especially, if you're looking for a sweet escape from reality.
Yes, a sweet escape.
Right. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for chatting with me today. And readers can find you at jennifershirk.com or on Instagram. And is there anything else that where you'd like to point our listeners to or where readers can find you?
Well, I personally, I am on TikTok. I not as much as like probably maybe other authors, but I love Instagram. So if, you know, if that's where, that's my social media of choice. I love to connect with readers through that. I love to see what they're posting. I Facebook, I do a little bit too. I do tend to, geared more toward Instagram, but you know, Facebook is a great way to find me as well. And you know, feel free to look me up and sign up for my newsletter as well. That's a great way to connect with me.
Oh, good. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much. It's been so much fun to chat with you today, and I appreciate your time. And I can't wait to hear more about your next book, especially you know, to reunite with these characters.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, good. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Bookhouse podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We also hope you'll stop in our Millburn or Long Branch locations. To find out about upcoming events, follow us on Instagram at the Bookhouse Millburn or the Bookhouse Long Branch. Looking for a rental space for your next event? Contact our Millburn location at 973-564-6262. Happy reading.
Original production. The Bookhouse is an independent bookstore with two locations in New Jersey, Millburn and Long Branch. Are you the guy who says they like to support indie bookstores? Good. Then be that guy. Come shop at the Bookhouse. Books, puzzles, games, coffee, cards, live author events, comedy nights, and most important, a real sense of community where actual human beings engage with one another. The Bookhouse in downtown Millburn and at Pier Village in Long Branch. That's the Bookhouse. Independent, local, quaint as fuck. Follow us on Instagram and come visit our stores.